Hey, everybody. Welcome to the First Press Sermon Podcast. At the end of the podcast, please take a moment to subscribe to this channel or our YouTube channel to stay up to date with our latest Sunday messages. We are so glad to have you joining us, and we are praying that the following message might inspire you to take your next steps toward Jesus.
I invite you to open your Bibles or grab the Bible in front of you and turn to Isaiah as we continue in our series in Advent this morning. I'm going to read, and we're going to study together from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. And as we open the scriptures, let's open our hearts. Lord, it is a time for us to check our hearts and ask, is our heart prepared? Are we prepared to receive you? Are we prepared to bend the knee before you? Are we prepared to hear your word? And we know that we are helpless unless you come by your Holy Spirit and open our ears and prepare our heart and turn on the lights so that we can see clearly. So speak to us by the power of your Holy Spirit through your holy and living word. For in Jesus' name we pray. The church said, amen. Amen. Isaiah 9, 1 through 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm not sure we've ever made it through December without reading that passage, have we? But this year we're really camping out on it. Our series, What Do You Name Him?, is about naming Jesus. There are so many different things to call him. So many different titles, so many different words that are used to describe him. And Isaiah lists four of them right here in verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Last week, Pastor Greg taught about Jesus as our Wonderful Counselor. He's the perfect counselor, the counselor who sees our blind spots and our bald spots. The counselor who empathizes with us in our weaknesses and is merciful and caring. And the counselor who jumps in the hole with us to help us to find our way out. A wonderful counselor. Well, today we look at the second one, Mighty God. Jesus is Mighty God. Jesus is the Lord God Almighty. Does that stretch your mind a little bit? The infant is named Jesus. The name Jesus means God saves, but only God can save. To name Jesus Mighty God is to recognize that Jesus is the incarnation of God. He is the incarnate Son of God, who is himself the Lord God Almighty, worthy of praise. This is the mystery of the incarnation. God himself has come down. God himself is the great shepherd who will rescue the lost sheep. God himself is the creator who has entered his creation to save and to redeem. If you want to know God, look to the face of this little infant lying in the manger. Mary and Joseph were given the task of naming Jesus. And don't you wonder if there was just a minute where, you know, they debated it. Jesus, that's not a family name. Joseph is a family name. We could name the child Joseph, you know. I've always liked the name Ted. Marty, something like that. Don't you wonder if they debate? I mean, those dreams, those weird dreams were months ago now. Surely that doesn't still apply. This is our kid. We get to name it. Don't you wonder if they thought about that at all? They bent over their child. They looked down into his. They named the child Jesus, in obedience and faith. Today with Isaiah, we name Jesus Mighty God. What do you name Jesus? What do you call him in your life? How do you respond to who Jesus has shown himself to be? Today we name him Mighty God, Mighty God. We need a Mighty God. We need to know our mighty God in our times. Amen. Name Jesus in your life. Name Jesus, Mighty God, above and beyond all false gods. This famous passage starts with the word nevertheless. Nevertheless, verse 1. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. Well, that makes you think, well, what happened up till here? And did you note that Galilee will find honor? Galilee will find honor, as this was predicting the coming of Jesus. Nevertheless, well, nevertheless sends you back to the last chapter. What was happening, nevertheless? Well, what was happening, basically, was Isaiah was describing what it's like when people turn away from God and they go their own way, when people reject the word of God and they find their own pattern, their own truth, and when people turn from God's light and they walk towards the darkness of the world, this is what it's like. It doesn't go well. So he describes in chapter 8, this is what you can expect. And what you expect when people turn away from God, they turn away from his light. You know what happens? They start to fear everything in the world. But they don't fear God. Look at this verse. You can look up your Bibles in chapter 8. Look, just go back a page. Chapter 8, verse 12, for example. Do not call conspiracy everything this people calls a conspiracy. That feels like a word for our times. Do not fear what they fear, and do not dread it. The Lord Almighty is the one you're to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. Remember this. Fear God and dread not. You see, there's two choices. Either you fear everything in the world and you don't fear God, or you fear God and there's nothing to fear. You see? It says, look, when you turn away from God, disobedience leads to fear, which leads to running around in spiritual darkness, which leads to grasping at straws and lies and whispers and rumors and spiritualists. And he continues down verse 21 to describe this. Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they're famished, they'll become enraged, and looking upward will curse their king and their God. Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. I want you to remember that image. Remember that image a little later. That describes some people that you know, distressed and hungry, they roam. That's what brings us to our passage this morning. Is God says, nevertheless. Nevertheless, no more gloom. Nevertheless, because you say, nevertheless, why? Well, because you probably deserved more of that. In our decisions that we make in our turning away from God, distress and gloom was what you'd expect. More frustration and more pain and more dissatisfaction and more feeling lost and hungry and famished and wandering through the darkness. Nevertheless, God has a different plan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, light has dawned. You've enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. Why? Because something has happened. Something has come into the world that is not of the world. This is our verse for the week. Would you read this with me, verse 6? For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Amen. This is good news. Something has come into the world in our need that was not here before. Something has intervened. Something has intersected, like light breaking in on darkness, like a new cure, a new trial drug that's extending your life just when you needed it, like a phone call from a friend that you weren't expecting that came right at the right time, like a hug from behind from a loved one that you didn't even know was there that warms your heart right when you needed it. Something has come in our need. Something has broken in our darkness. This didn't happen in a vacuum. God intervenes. Light has come. No more darkness and gloom. Nevertheless, even though that's what we probably deserve, God says, nevertheless. Nevertheless. And it doesn't just come in a vacuum. We don't just start singing about the light because we were in the light and now there's more light. No, the Savior comes because we need a Savior. The Wonderful Counselor comes because we need help. We need counsel. The Mighty God comes because we need a God to dispel all false gods, to topple all idols. The Everlasting Father comes because we need to be born again. The Prince of Peace comes because this world is a mess of violence. It's not into a vacuum. Into our darkness comes the light of life. Amen. But Mighty God, as a name for Jesus, right away we see the tension. How can you talk about a child given, a child is given, a son is born, and then call him Mighty God? How can these two things be true? How can God be given as a child? It makes no sense. A Persian church father 1,600 years ago wrote, "Therefore tell me, O wise teacher of Israel, who is he that was born and whose name was called child and son, and also Wonderful and Counselor, the Mighty God of the ages, the Prince of Peace, to the increase of whose government and to whose peace it is said there will be no end." Who is it that you can say all these things about? Who could possibly be called these contravening things? Who could sustain these different ideas as contradictory? Only Jesus. God, the Mighty God, came in Jesus Christ. And now we begin to approach the monumental mystery that is the gift of Christmas. That God, the Mighty God, did not stay in the far reaches of distant divinity. God came near to us in Jesus Christ. Mighty God is born, given in helpless babe. So we name Jesus Mighty God because that's what he is. Jesus is not a man who knew a lot about God. Jesus is God. Jesus, the Son of God, is the one true God extended from where he is in eternity, in immortality, into where we are in time and mortality. God became flesh. Even as an infant, even as a helpless babe, even as an unborn child, Jesus is mighty God. Part of what it means to name Jesus mighty God is rooting out any competing gods. You see, because we're subject to idolatry more than we know. We build idols all the time in our life. Not that we carve idols out of wood and set them up in our homes and kneel before them regularly. Although I do wonder what I'm doing, dragging a pine tree into my house every year. why do we do that again? But we do have idols. Our minds, John Calvin said, are factories for idols. We're always making one. There's always the next one coming off the line. An idol is anything that we hold up higher than Jesus, anything that we put up on the top shelf over our love for the Lord who is mighty God. We have a tendency to accrue what Becky Pippert called God's substitutes. This is what she writes. We've been created to love and worship God. We have worshiping natures. Where we run into trouble is when we try to worship something other than God, when we put something else in God's place. It can be good things or bad things, but God's substitutes will always fail us because they aren't big enough to ultimately build our lives upon. God's substitutes fail you. They're not big enough to hold up your life. The thing that you're worshiping instead of Jesus, it's not going to sustain you. And the other thing that it does is it blinds you, because as you get closer to an idol, as you put more trust in something that isn't God, as you put more trust in this, the last thing that you think of at night, the first thing that you think of in the morning, that thing that you think, if I lost this, I could not go on. If it isn't Jesus, you know, what it does is it gets close to you, it starts to obscure your field of vision. You get so close to it, you get your nose up to it, and suddenly you can't see anything else. You can't see God. You can't see others. And so you can't love God. You can't love others because you've been blinded. Name Jesus mighty God. Anything else that competes can be kicked out the door. Amen? Jesus is mighty God. Jesus is mighty God. We have a lot of generals in this church. Do you know that? If you don't know, you should know. Generals. I just learned about a friend who I thought was a colonel when he retired, but he was actually a general when he retired. And I didn't know that. I have to treat him differently now. You know? Generals are the ones with the stars on, you know? They don't just hand those out for hanging around long enough. I've been reflecting on my own time in the military lately, and I remember what it was like to be around a general. Generals were scary. You stand up real straight when the general's in the room. Because they could, kind of with a glance, they could wreck your life, you know? Or they could open doors for you of stuff you couldn't imagine. It was really scary to be around Joe. I was at the State of the City for Colorado Springs this year, and there was a table of honor in front of the room for the military installations, all the military, the five great military installations of our city, and the commanders of every installation were there in uniform with all their stars on. And I leaned over to a buddy at the table who's also a veteran. I said, "That's a lot of stars at one table, isn't it?" And he said, "Yeah, too many." You see, in the military, they put a flag out in front of the building just to warn you a general's in the house. Because you need to know. You know, and people would respond in two different ways when a general's in the house. Some would want to get there. Where's the general? I want to get to where the general, I want to stand at attention and salute and see what happens. But most of the people I knew, when a general was in the house, you know what they would do? Get out. Go hide in the closet. Is the general still here? It was a big deal to gain an audience with a general. That's a lot of power. That's a lot of authority. That can change your life. Hear me now. Jesus is the mighty God. His authority and power and majesty are without end and without compare. Jesus can change your life. Jesus can alter your future. Jesus can heal your past. Jesus is the mighty God. And you know what church is? Church is an audience with Jesus. Jesus is in the house. He's in the room. The flag is raised. And because he is here, all things are possible. All things are possible. He is Lord of lords, King of kings, Lord God Almighty is Jesus. He's present. How will you respond? Will you run and hide? Or will you open your life to him? And, friends, and, who do you wish was here? Who do you know in your life that you wish you could bring into an audience with Jesus, that you wish was sitting here with you right now? We have a mission in this church to be light and life for the city, proclaiming the light of the gospel, shining and showing the life of Jesus with the people of our town. You know where that can start? That can start right now, this month, with you inviting someone to come and share an audience with Jesus. In the next few weeks and on Christmas Eve, to say, would you come? I want you to just sit with me and be in the audience of Jesus. Who needs to be here to have an audience of Jesus this year? Who do you know? Who are you thinking about when I read that passage from Isaiah? Distressed and hungry, they roam. Looking for an answer, looking for relief, looking for the light in the darkness. Who did that make you think of? There's a general in the house who can change lives. There's a mighty God who can push all the false gods out. There's a Savior. And you're his ambassador. You're his ambassador in our times. Remember, it says in Scripture, we are therefore Christ's, what's that word? Ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You are his ambassadors, and it's invitation time. It's time to reach out with that invitation. Every year, I tell you, as pastor of this church, every year I hear the story again. It was Christmas Eve. I was at Christmas Eve. I was sitting there with my family, and I'd heard the story so many times before, but something happened. My heart felt different. My eyes were opened differently, and it's the same thing I'd heard so many times, but there it was, and I knew the Lord. Whose story will that be? Who will you invite into an audience with Jesus this year who will one day say, it was Christmas 2024 when my heart was open to the Lord? You are God's ambassadors to them. It's invitation time. Who needs an audience with Jesus, the mighty God? Friends, name Jesus Mighty God. Name him Mighty God. Until you name Jesus Mighty God, you will not know the wonder and the majesty and the gift of Christmas. Until you name Jesus Mighty God, you will not push the idols out of your life that are obscuring your vision and keeping you in chains of false worship. Until you name Jesus Mighty God, you'll feel no compulsion to bend the knee and change your life before Him. But when you do name Jesus Mighty God, you will feel the peace of His light breaking in, and His reign, and His rule, and His government, and His kingdom that will have no end. Lift up His name, the Holy One, Mighty God, Jesus, and worship Him. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank You that You are Mighty God, Jesus. We name You Mighty God. There is no God higher than You, no God other than You. You are the one true Lord God, Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we know You in the face of Jesus. And we open our hearts to You and we say again, Lord, or maybe for the first time, Lord, come into my life. Guide me out of the darkness. Bring Your promise of nevertheless, no more gloom. And let Your light break in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you.
Once again, thanks for listening. To plan your visit, head to our website, firstpresscos.org. That's firstpresscos.org.